I'm Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Sorry about the delay for the start of the show, technical problems, but then that's live radio, so whatever. Anyway, thanks for sticking with us. So this is all about our connection with our spirit friends, and we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us in the most natural way. Mick and I are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world and channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom, and he will be sharing that with us today. Today we are going to be talking about environmental issues, and if anybody does phone in, obviously that is a free phone in the US and Canada. It's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222. And if you could today keep the questions on topic, that would be fantastic. Normally I do ask for your general questions to do with life, the universe and everything. It's not a reading style show, but it's basically we discuss everything that we've been hopefully, well, maybe programmed to believe, and hopefully emerge with a fresh point of view that is more applicable to life now generally. So that's what we're all about. But we do have a topic today that was given to us by Sophia from the UK. And if you have an idea for a show topic that you'd like us to discuss 1 week, then you can send your questions and your questions and your show topic to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I will do my best for you. It can be a single subject or it can be a single question, and either way it'd be lovely to hear from you. So here's Mick, and he's going to be very quick.
I am going to be very quick. Hi, everyone. I'm Mick Avery, and welcome once again to Spirit's Work Radio, live on DBS Radio, here every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, 1 p.m. EST, that's 6 p.m. GMT. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, or maybe book an Akashic reading, or any of the other situations we have to offer, please go visit any of our websites. We're on www.spirit-teaching.com, on www.mickavery.com, and also, of course, on spiritsworkradio.com. Now, I'm not going to say anything else because Sylvie really wants me to go.
Absolutely. We need to get on with the program.
Get me out of the way, and that's my lot. Anyway, look, if I don't speak to you again, which I probably won't, do have a lovely Christmas, everyone, or whatever it is you celebrate. Even if you don't celebrate, have a great time wherever you're going.
Right, and you're going off to the spirit world now.
I'm going off now.
Yeah, and I'll explain to you what's going to happen. Yeah. Everybody, basically, Mick will go into the trance state and bring through Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group. And they will borrow his body for the duration of the show. He won't know about anything that happens because his spirit and his consciousness are transported elsewhere. So, like I say, if you want to visit our website for a better understanding on how we work, literally today we haven't got time to go through too much because we want to make up for time lost at the beginning. And we've got lots to go through, and it's going to be absolutely, a good show to end this year, I think. It's going to be serious in parts, but obviously very beneficial and informative. And it's what we need to know, armed with the right energy to go forward into next year, I feel. And when Gregory comes through, he will be, the spokesperson for this scientific group. And in that way, we can ask him questions that, because there's thousands in the group, we can ask him virtually any question and somebody will know the answer. So here he is now. Hello, Gregory.
Yes, my dear friend. Hello. With love and light, blessings to all of those of you on your side of life, from all of those of us on our side of life. I thank you so very much for inviting us once again to join with you in these question and answer forum sessions that we have.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, we're really pleased that you turn up each week.
Oh, my dear friend, don't worry. If ever you are late or we are late or whatever, someone's late, it really does not matter.
No, absolutely not. So, okay, so today we're going to be talking, it's a humanitarian problem, it's a situation that is going to be affecting all of us. Okay, so here we are. We're going to be going right, I'd just like to say, everybody, I've just got a message that we can go right up to the top of the hour, so... So we can even go a little over the hour to make up for it. So that's great. So, okay, that's lovely. Anyway, this is a question from Zofia. Well, actually, lots of questions from Zofia.
The wonderful Zofia's mind.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Okay, she says, a couple of months ago, Gregory mentioned that the three factors which are endangering the planet are the economic growth of China, the hunting of sharks for food, and the deforestation of the Amazon.
Yes.
All these factors strike me as being political issues, somewhat up to the powers that be, basically. So can we dissect these different situations and obviously go on to other situations later on?
Yes, absolutely. So,
would you like to start with China?
Yes, well, obviously, we... in a sense, we're not being racist or any other kind of event here, but really to say that when we observe one nationality, one country, in its rise to power and through its power base, we see various different observances of how that generality has become... in a sense, ostracized from its people, or rather, should I say, divorced from its own people. So therefore, in a sense, the actual power base itself becomes something that is omnipotent within itself and does not any longer respond to the needs or wishes of the people it is supposed to care for. In the beginning, I understand, with this somewhat authoritarian state, really, as it was brought out of a more kind of tribal kingdom, that the various different warlords, I understand that the whole kingdom of it, in a sense, at one state was very privileged orientated, and I understand for various political reasons that was changed, because they saw it as though it was really top-heavy, that it favoured just the few, much like many other countries on your side of life, favoured the few, and that most people were just simply poor peasants who actually were very lucky if they were educated at all. Usually the educational basis was really thrust within the whole enclave of various different posts within monk-like status. And that was the only opportunity that a child from a poor background would have to even learn to read or write or have any kind of vocational gifts recognized within their own physical life journey. So it means then that you have a situation where the poor power base, in a sense, is actually then enhanced by spiritual gifts and freedoms obtained, in a sense, still at a very poor rate of growth. So it means that, alternately, you have now presently a situation which has gone into reverse. So that at one stage, people during this upwelling of this present country, that people were actually having the power themselves to create their own understanding, but it was within a very restricted and given framework. So it meant that even though they were trying to climb out of their poverty, that they still were unable to provide the right kinds of resources and situations that they really truly needed. Yet en masse, it enabled the country as a whole to become more of a machine-driven situation that then enabled them to be industrialized, to move away from the agricultural farming, even though that is still a very high point and a very key issue within the country. It actually has meant that China itself has created a great deal of pollution within its own boundaries, within its own borders, and also predominantly within the atmosphere. We acknowledge this purely and simply because it occupies a third of the planet, a third of the people living upon the planet. So naturally, we have a vested interest, in a sense, because we are no longer living on the physical side of life, but we have a vested interest because of all of the millions and billions and trillions of beings on our side of life who still want to come and have a human physical life or some other kind of life that is non-human to do with some other species or some other group of beings. Not that we look upon this as a caste enterprise. It is not. Not in the same way, certainly, as human beings view everything to be their top domain, kingdom, and that everything else is lesser. We don't see it in that way. We see only in the evolutionary aspect as far as physical cell beings and how they have made their place within their world.
Okay, so really you're talking...
As an outline.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're basically coming from the position that the general person in that country has a limited knowledge base.
Yes, that's
to
right.
Platform to spring from in the first place.
And are prevented from doing so.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that, I have to say, is in exactly the same way, not by contrast, but in exactly the same as we have seen countless years previously of many different other countries.
Sure.
Belgium, for example, actually, instead of enslaving their own people, went and charged about the planet and parochially challenged and conquered other peoples and enslaved them.
Mm.
And in fact, killed vast numbers of them just simply because they could.
Yeah.
And because they wanted the resource of where that people live.
Mm.
Part of the slaughter of the Belgian Congo, for example, to do with that present country. There are many conditions throughout history where the Spanish have, throughout the conquistadorian state of Mexico, of the various parts of Peru and Brazil, and that kind of thing, although Brazil was more to do with the Dutch, you see.
Okay.
Yes, and so yep. You have these different situations where different multiple countries, ones who actually had great power or created great power, usually because of their vast armies and their very warlike status, actually overran various parts of the planet itself. So this, in a sense, has created a precedent. Doesn't mean to say that simply because it was then that you must or need to continue to do it. And there are many places, many instances throughout upon the planet's surface whereby you have conditions still illuminated now, not talking really about Afghanistan or Iraq, but many other countries whereby the status is just the same.
Okay. All right, well, let's go to Sophia's first part of these questions.
Yes, yes.
Then. So we're on China. So she says, basically, no one wants to suggest that China should be doing things differently. As we need to borrow money from them and need their manufactured goods.
Yes, but that is just an excuse.
Absolutely.
The point I have to make, really, is that the whole point about China is, yes, it is an industrialized country, but that doesn't mean to say that you do not encourage learning from prehistory, from the rest of the situation. It isn't good enough for one country who is supposed to be apparently understated, therefore rising up through their power base and creating a power base for themselves. They cannot then say, oh, well, I'll go and do all of the polluting that you other countries did of the industrialized nations simply because you did it, so I can do it too. And that, in fact, doesn't work purely and simply because that this knowledge has come forward that actually it's a bad thing to do because you're polluting the planet. So it just creates a selfish kingdom and a selfish attitude to do with not just work ethic, but the whole contingency of it. In actual fact, because of the fact that labor usage is so cheap in China, has meant that many countries, including North America, of course, and Europe, have in fact lost their basic manufacturing prowess and their ability because they simply cannot compete with the wage situation being so much lower.
Yeah, well, that's been given away.
Yes, basically. Yeah. And all of these companies have then simply been wrapped up and shipped off to the country of China, which then continues in the prosperous way of moving forward.
Well, that's
I understand that. But the point is really that the whole condition of this needs to be that they understand the qualities with which it is given and how they need to use the planet in order to make it the right place.
Okay, so if we're talking about people that don't care, though, okay, we have to come from that premise, really, or else things would be happening already. But, you know, we're not talking about...
Yes.
Okay, we're not talking about rational thinking.
Yes.
And we're here talking about the fact that we need their manufactured goods now because we have given up everything, closed down the factories, sent everything.
Right.
So over there. So they are a force to be reckoned with in that way, apart from the borrowing money situation.
Yes, but it is not at the same time fair to say that it's all one way either. I understand that the Chinese government recently has acknowledged various aspects to global warming and their part that they must play in its rendition to stopping it. However, they see it as that they should have a different set of field remarks, in a sense, a different set of laws for them as opposed to everyone else on the planet, because they see it that everyone else on the planet has so far created it. The point is, I need to state here, is that when you have a country of over 2 billion people, or any amount of people, you are looking at the infrastructure not just of the country in terms of its manifestations, as in buildings, technology or whatever, you are also talking about food, its instrumental course, and how that itself affects the planet. So if you have a planet which is constantly growing in number, in population, then you have growing problems to do with that, affixed to that, specifically to do with three different causes: human waste and its use of water, fresh water, the mineral waste and the byproducts of chemical reaction, which then continue to affect the climate and the well-being of the planet itself. And then for a third reason, you have animal waste. That is the whole situation of creating animals, breeding animals for the use of food, whether that be in a harvesting husbandry to do with the sea and oceans, or to do with land management issues, whereby, for example, now I understand that there are situations arising in both Canada and also in various parts of America, and now sadly in Europe as well, where cattle farming within this mill-like prophecy, in a sense, whereby it is taking place that over 10,000 head of cattle are actually reared and fed and kept and housed and slaughtered within a space of 5 acres.
Good grief. Okay.
So that is a major contributory factor to methane, which is part of the rising situation that creates various different imbalances for the planet, leading to the raising of the mean temperature of the planet itself.
Okay, and but that's not just China, is it? That's
no, indeed.
Lots
but
of other places.
I'm saying because of the fact that it's actually a third of the country,
yeah,
we are actually a third of the population of the planet. We're actually looking at that as a milestone, in a sense. Mm. And what I'm saying is that many other countries now are following all of these different heavily industrialized situations whereby animals are reintroduced at an alarming rate and held in very confined spaces, thus far creating overabundance of methane and overabundance and production, in a sense, which leads to instability of the growth of the animals in the state of it.
Okay. So what about the other part of the question? You know, our need for their manufactured goods, this little nice little corner that we've boxed ourselves into.
Yes.
What are we going to be doing about that? We can't go on like that.
Well, that tends to be the whole matter of greed and the product of stuff. That is really to do with the whole situation arising from the very fact that each and every one of you do not actually pay for the true value of the bits and pieces that you buy. In other words, a mobile telephone, for example, or cell phone that you have on your side of life. The actual components that come to make it, the mining operations that enable it to be brought to the surface and then enable all of the little bits and pieces that come to make it up, the silicon, the various different situations that go into the manufacturing process, are far in excess the value of the price of the product. So that means to say, if you look at a generality of the product of stuff that is made and manufactured on your side of life, you will see that the actual product value is high in excess of the real value of what you pay for it. And that means that imbalance is at some stage going to be the balance that you ultimately have to pay.
Okay.
That is simply because it can only work for so long before either the quantity or the price of stuff begins to escalate, because the raw materials for it become less and less because you're using them up. And so the universal situation becomes that the materials themselves are more expensive to find. Yes, I understand that what will happen is the various mining operations will simply move from one country to another, reaping it as it goes, consuming all of its mineral wealth and all of its situations, giving nothing back to the population in which it is found, but simply taking it for themselves and creating it for the mass market environment, which then eventually fails. It can only last for so long. So the condition that you have is that very few people on your side of life actually acknowledge the price of stuff. It would be different if you were, for example, each and every one of you, obtaining fruit and vegetables, seasonal varieties, which are grown in your own township, in your own locality.
Local grown produce.
Yes. Part of the whole situation of, I understand, of kibbutz living or living in a sense, community-based programs, was really that it was actually something that meant that you didn't have to take food very far to market.
Mm.
It was actually locally grown, locally produced, so therefore if you as a people produced something in a polluted environment, what you ate was polluted. So it meant that everyone had to keep everything clean, you see, automatically. And if they didn't, then poison would break out, events of that type would break out within the naturality of the surrounding area, and you would be able to pinpoint it very quickly and put it right. At this present time, you actually don't know. You have no idea. And so the pollutions of one environment, namely the sea, at this present time, remain unchecked, or the rivers, or the streams, or whatever, simply because of the agricultural runoff or anything else that happens to be thrown in it at the time. Anyway, we are not here to be doom and gloom about this.
No, absolutely
this
not.
Is, in a sense, a wake-up situation that we have to bring about once again because it's timely to do so, because people need to be reminded of it in any event. But for Zofia, we thank her so very much for these questions.
Absolutely, yes, yes. Okay, right, shall we move on?
Absolutely.
Okay, Zofia's next question was that you mentioned about sharps.
Yes.
Obviously, you have to go over that again for the new listeners.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, but basically she says that eating sharks is a part of the culture of many countries, which is politically incorrect to criticise.
No, it isn't.
And the link between sharks and the depletion of oxygen in the oceans is not actually well known.
Yes, let's make this absolutely clear.
Okay.
The whole situation about shark is really a delicacy. So that means it has an optimum value. That means that people who are poor, who are peasants or criminals, would rather monopolize that status, that situation, to completely make a very good living for themselves.
Can I just say that I have got some stats here. And actually, not many people do eat the actual shark because it doesn't taste particularly nice.
No, it doesn't.
But 1 pound of dried shark fin can retail for $300 or more.
Yes.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yes.
Pound. So, you know.
And all the rest of the shark is thrown
back. It's discarded. It's actually alive when they take the fins off and discard it into the sea, and it floats to the bottom where it just dies in agony and other fish just eat it alive, basically.
Yes, but actually so, it dies purely and simply through lack of oxygen because the shark always has to swim forward in order to survive.
Oh, right. Okay. And it's any shark of any age as well. So,
yes, yes, absolutely.
And it's unmanaged and unmonitored. Anybody
yes,
can do
right.
it, really.
And the point is that I have to point out here is that 90% of all the sharks of all of the oceans in the last 15 years have been wiped off the surface of the earth. 90%.
Well, it says as well that 100 million sharks are killed for their fins annually.
Yes, 100 million.
Yeah, yeah. And experts do estimate that within a decade, most species of sharks will be lost because of this longlining, as they call it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So the situation is
so,
that their tie to oxygen is that sharks... Actually, part of their staple diet is a small fishy. Is a small fish, the name of which escapes me at this present time, but I have asked and instructed for other members of the group, particularly Mr. Jacques Cousteau himself, to actually come forward with the name of this little being. But I understand that part of a staple shark diet is a little fish which actually eats oxygen-giving algae,
mm-hmm.
which is on the surface of, in the plankton, in a sense, on the surface of the oceans. And that is where the majority of your oxygen comes from. So that means if you have no more sharks to eat the little fishes, which then actually I understand the fishes that it eats are larger fishes. That's right. Yes, he's just correcting me. They are larger fishes that the shark eats, which feed on these little fishes, which eat the algae that creates the oxygen for the planet.
Yeah.
Most of the oxygen, perhaps between 60 and 70% of the oxygen of the planet, comes from the sea, not from trees or plants on the land.
Yep.
Because the majority of the planet of the Earth is ocean. So that means to say that if you have depleted sharks themselves to 90% of their number, have simply been destroyed, that means that there are fewer and fewer sharks who are able to breed. And as the numbers deplete exponentially, 100 million sharks being fished next year is probably more like a vast risk damage scenario for next year. So that means to say that if you take another 100 million, then there are going to be so many millions more of the sharks' staple food, which are the middle-sized fish, which eat normally would either eat or consume the other foods, the other fishes, and all of the little fishes, which simply their populations expand and explode. And they continue to consume the whole scenario situation to do with the algae enriched ocean giving life. And that means to say that it will cut down drastically the amount of oxygen enabling into the environment and into the atmosphere of the planet of Earth.
It's the food chain of the Earth, basically.
Yes, and basically because of the fact that the shark itself is at the apex of it, that is part of the reason why, is the whole reason really, why it is this fundamental question has to be answered, and really the only condition that can be is for all shark fishing to be ceased forthwith. And please, my dear friends, if there are any countries whose staple situation has always been shark fishing, it hasn't. Actually, there are very few countries whereby that is a part of their endemic ancestral heritage and history. And in any event, even if it is, in just the same way as I said the other within the other program, within the situation in New Zealand where peoples used to hunt and fish for whale, and they don't do it anymore, but they still craft the boats and they still use the spiritual exes in order to celebrate the very fact that they did do that.
Yeah, this is nothing to do with that, though, is
and,
it?
No, exactly.
Absolutely nothing.
No, it's
like
not
that.
A spiritual in-kingdom. It's just we always used to hunt for sharks. Actually, you didn't. Probably didn't start actually hunting for them until about the 16th century in any event.
No, this is more like, you know, diamonds or, it's you know... Yes. Drug smuggling or whatever. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
That's, right.
That's just silly money.
Yes.
That you don't really have to have any half a brain to be able to do. Because there's no legislation. Anybody can get a boat and go and do it, basically.
Yes, that's right.
So, so what do we do about that? Apart from, I mean, you know, I was looking up the websites, you know, there's obviously societies that people can join and support, the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society,
yes.
Wild Aid, the Shark Trust, the Shark Project,
yes.
Florida Museum of Natural History.
Yes.
There's, you know, all sorts of different organizations that people can join and make a bigger voice with. But, and obviously anything else that you can do in a political manner to make your voice heard, basically.
Within your own government.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, that's right. After all, in exactly the same way, my dear friend Little Bird, the way that North America has failed roundly to tackle the orange roughy problem of the eastern coast and the fact of the almost complete annihilation of shoals of orange roughy, which actually take, I believe, 10 to 15 years to mature.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, people like Zofia, for instance, is a physicist. So this is something that is hopefully going to inspire and, you know, create. I mean, this is a somebody with an open mind, and hopefully, and we do know that there are other people who are going into law in various different
environmental
ways, environmental law,
and,
who are into your work and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is knowledge that will help you. And well, there's many more questions anyway here from along this line, but basically, you know, we do what we can. And obviously, if you've got a foot in a camp that is going to be particularly beneficial to this cause, then, you know, please do use everything, every means that you can.
Yes, that's
do something.
Right. The problem, you see, a part of the problem as well, I have to say, happens to be that many companies actually employ scientists and various different scholars in order to find their way around various different laws and prohibitions and problems areas which have arisen because of environmental constraints, which are there to protect these different species. And there are many companies who employ vast ranges of scientists and scholars and different peoples to help them to evade and overcome various different international laws so as for them to continue their illicit trades in whatever way, shape or form it is, whether that's to do with various different forms of animal husbandry, which are actually akin to a very dangerous form of breeding, simply because of the masses of beings held within such a confined space and the amount of drugs and various different kinds of chemical balances that have to be put into the physical body in order to enable it to withstand the various different diseases, viruses and bacteria which congregate and have a vast living condition in such a confined space.
Absolutely, yes. So, well, you know, apart from, there's, like I say, there's many organisations, but you see a lot of them, like, for instance, the Sea Shepherd, etc. Can't be everywhere at once.
Yes,
can't deal with
everything. My point is, you see, this is really part of exactly the same reason why it has been that many salmon fisheries, trout fisheries, different fisheries of certain kinds have failed simply because you cannot confine vast numbers of beings in a very small space and expect them to continue to survive just as they did in the wild. It's just too many fishes.
Well,
so it's trying to monopolize and make something too cheap to produce, which then simply gets wasted. Why put salmon in a tin for cat food?
Exactly. Yeah, quite.
If it is so precious. It would be better to save all of the salmon for human beings to eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you would cut down probably on about 50% of its production.
Okay, right. Well, we have a caller online.
Yes,
hello.
Hi, Sylvie. Hi, Gregory. How are you doing?
John, Mr. Sekovich. Hello,
John.
Hi. I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. And a question for today is, are there any traditions that are celebrated around Christmas time in spirit?
Well, my dear friend, it really just depends upon what situation you are drawn to. There are many beings here who continue to be predominantly Christian or whatever religious facet or fact of their condition when they had in physical life, and they will continue to share that as a part of their learning curve and their situation, and that is a matter for them. So yes, it is celebrated. Moreover, I would have to say that the time of the event and the time of giving, which then creates further love and further energy between human beings, is actually what then becomes utilized by the spirit world in order for healing situations to be dealt with that perhaps weren't able and able to be dealt with during war-torn situations and that kind of thing. So generally it tends to be a time of healing to enable others to be healed that would not have otherwise been so. Because it's usually a time when human beings actually come together and at once, for one sense or reason or another, will actually become more peaceable. Mm. So that's actually what we do with it.
Very good. So the heart of Christmas in spirit is that it's a time of peace.
And time of love, yes, absolutely. And we use that love for healing.
And healing. Wow. Thank you very much.
Yes, yes, thank you, Sue.
Well, thanks, John. Hey, yes, you have a lovely Christmas and a happy new year. And we look forward to hearing from you again and keeping up our contact next year.
Absolutely, sir.
Any predictions for 2011?
Before he goes.
Well, my dear friend, water is of a prime use, my dear friend, and will continue to be uppermost in people's minds, I am sure, whether there is too much of it or not enough.
Okay.
Well, that's good to hear because I work for a water department, so good to hear.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, very well.
All right, then. You take care, John. Have a lovely time.
God bless, Finn.
Okay. Okay, then. Let's go on to the final part of the question, for Sophie's question.
Yeah.
Let me see. Now, then. Okay. Right. The other part of it was to do with the Amazon rainforest.
Yes.
She says about... Her point is that the deforestation of the Amazon is strongly linked to Brazil's desire to copy the ranch building success of the USA to sell profitable beef, and that Brazil needs profit to tax and help deal with poverty.
Well, my point, my dear friend, would be that it didn't help North America. All that it did with North America was create further poverty. In actual fact, what happened with North America was that they already had masses and masses of herds of animals, but of course that all of those were slaughtered. That was bison. And then they were gradually replaced by cattle for the same cause, for the same effect. So no one seems to have learned anything so far, and there are still millions of people who are without health care, millions of people who remain unable to work for one reason or another, and who suffer appallingly from the lack of ability to be able to fend for themselves.
Okay, so...
So one of the situations to do with this is that no matter how you decide to do away with your infrastructure or your natural resources, like Canada, who allowed vast tracts of natural forest to be denuded and vast waterways to be confiscated and used for various different situations of power enhancement or whatever, that even in all of these situations, the pollution that was then created from it was there simply... They're still picking up the pieces from it. They're still, the Missouri and Mississippi rivers are still the most polluted rivers on the planet. And that means to say that all of those two beautiful rivers running as they do into the Mississippi basin, that means to say all of that pollution from the agricultural runoff of the masses and masses of cattle stations and various other things to do with agriculture, still pollute the land, the sea, the waterways, and then people's lives. So I feel, my dear friend, the only people who benefit from this are not the people that live there, but in actual fact, the people who profit from it.
Well, yeah, and it's to do with the furniture making of, is actually selling the wood.
Oh, yes, absolutely so. Which is supposed to be illegal, but it's actually accepted almost everywhere.
Absolutely, and you can get it in the UK and anywhere in the world, basically.
Yes.
But yes, okay, but the point, her point, you know, Brazil needs profit to tax and help deal with poverty. So,
but actually what it has is a natural resource in the Amazon rainforest. And what really needs to happen is that the large pharmaceutical companies, which probably own about a quarter of the planet in any event, that they need to be able to obtain the Amazon rainforest to preserve it. Because in actual fact, it contains all of the medications necessary to contact and maintain and completely dismantle all of the viruses and bacteria known and unknown. So that means to say that all of the viruses or bacteria that are enabled to mutate and evolutionize on their own or within some kind of host in the future of the planet, all of its situations will be there to enable to be conquered by using various different trees, plants, shrubs and herbs, bits and pieces of the flora and fauna of the Amazon rainforest that will then enable those medicinal needs and chemicals to enable those situations to be corrected.
Okay,
in
I'm not
exactly
sure.
The same way that you have the humble willow and aspirin that enables many things on your side of life to be corrected now.
Yeah, so that's another reason that we need the Amazon. I don't know if there's anybody online. Hello? No, there isn't. No. Okay, I thought I heard somebody. Anyway, we're going to go over overtime because we've had permission because we had a late start. So we'll probably go up to at least 10 past the hour. Really? So hopefully everybody can can join us. But anyway, the thing is, we have to address the problem as well. I mean, you know, they need, you know, the Brazil.
They need food. And
they need something. So what happens? We can't just take that away and expect
that is quite true. The problem
to suffer,
with it,
so.
Yes. The problem with Brazil is that at the moment it is undermined by criminality. And the criminality is there in the shape of very large companies and multinational corporations who are actually without permission or with only tacit permission actually taking it upon themselves to create these absolutely abhorrent conditions and situations. For example, within the mining situations of the eastern side of Peru, which is then draining off into the Amazon rainforest, there are enormous mining operations presently undertaken which are completely against the people who live there. That means that all of the native peoples who live in the Amazon rainforest don't want these people there, and they've just taken it over, you see? And what they're actually producing is, because they're looking for various different precious metals, diamonds, gold, and all the rest of it, part of the byproduct of that is arsenic.
Right.
And lead and mercury. And all, and these are the conditions which are now being effluated into the Amazon rainforest.
Yeah.
And that is simply a situation whereby you are going to see that the Amazon rainforest itself will simply just exhaust itself and all of the beings within it. So part of what Brazil has to realize, first of all, is to actually stop all of that by force if necessary. And it will be necessary because I understand that they all have their own private armies. So all of that situation has to be dealt with first before they can even think of aspiring to meeting the needs of their people. They have to bring it under control so that it becomes a safe environment. And then there are plenty of other situations that they can create, that can be created for the wellness of the people of the country without actually plundering the natural resource that they have in the way that they envisage it. They can turn, for example, parts of the Amazon River itself into a natural energy resource as water, kinetic energy, and the energies within water can be harnessed in such a way, not with a large dam, but with other much more environmentally friendly ways of utilizing energy of water flow so as to create electricity. And then that can be something that is then created for other countries as well. So it means that human beings do not have to, in a sense, always be that, it doesn't always have to be that they all have to be employed in something that is either pulling up trees or digging the ground or whatever.
Yes, there's a lot of electricity there, isn't there?
Enormous.
Yes.
It needs to be done in an environmental way, not damming.
Well, of course. See? But that really is down to the person that comes up with the idea, the finances, the money, whether it's government or whatever.
Yes,
you say, you have to actually come up with something better for these people.
Yes, and then you would also then have the pharmaceutical companies which actually pay the country to leave it, to keep it in its pristine state. Mm. And that would be then that what would happen would be that the families who live in the Amazon rainforest itself, who actually have a vested interest in the land and its natural resource, would then be employed by the government to actually be able to act as guides and whatever for the investigation of it for these companies, so that they then would be able to really identify and understand so much more about it.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so absolutely.
So there are many different ways of looking at this. It's not just a problem that you see. In exactly the same way as you have Inuit people in the frozen north of Alaska and Canada and around the Hudson Bay and everywhere else, that the whole situation for that is that, no, actually, they don't still have to really live in the way that they want to. That's a choice. That's not in a sense that they have to do that.
Okay. All right, so the final part of this section, let's go on to this one. As a physicist, I know, this is from Zofia, I know there is a lot of awareness about the problem of carbon building up in the atmosphere and being released from the oceans and trees, bringing on global warming. Scientists are trying to understand how the Earth keeps carbon equilibrium. However, you mentioned that the two of the most pressing issues are the logging of the Amazon, which produces a lot of the world's oxygen, and the lack of sharks to eat the bacteria, which then use up the ocean's oxygen via the other fish in the middle.
Yes, actually, I would actually disagree with part of that.
Okay.
The Amazon rainforest is not such a provider of oxygen for the rest of the planet. It's really to do with its ecosystem and it's the vitality and diversity of species which thrives and survives upon it.
And the undiscovered.
Yes, absolutely.
Benefits.
The millions of different beings that live there that aren't even known about. And that's exactly the same for all of the other pristine forests, of which you could name on probably two hands.
Yeah, medicines, etc.
Yes.
Cure, because like you say, there's a cure for virtually everything in the Amazon rainforest.
Yes, that's right.
Isn't there?
Yes, and the other main point to make is that the most lethal chemical situation at this present time is not just the carbon, but is actually methane.
Okay. Anyway, she says that this suggests more pressing problems with the oxygen cycle, which is quite alarming.
Yes.
Why hasn't more been said about this?
Because there is not a vested interest in saying it. That means that you bring up red flags.
Well, you're an anarchist, aren't you, a lot of the time, or a tree hugger.
I'm not. When I was in physical life.
We get labelled as, a troublemaker or a softy when you get.
I see.
So, yeah, it's just a figure of speech, but
an activist.
Yeah, absolutely, an activist. So, okay. So, but I think she's talking about in the scientific world, basically.
Yes, the same holds dear.
Because they are ostracized.
And because they're in the pay.
In the pay of
many.
Of the
various companies which want to maintain the status quo. Mm. And that's why they are able to do that. Mm. The point is that for many human beings on the planet, they don't actually really know what's really the state of play.
I was going to say, because another question of hers is, are we missing part of the picture in our scientific understanding?
About two-thirds of the picture is missed.
Yeah.
Is not explained, is kept quiet, is talked about only behind closed doors by the few who wield the power over you. Unfortunately, that is the way that the planet finds itself in.
Are there any scientists anywhere who are truly aware of the situations that you are aware of and have some understanding of it?
On your side of life?
Absolutely, yeah, on our side of life.
Yes, I understand that there are quite a few who are actually beginning to face up. And that's my point. Really.
Are these people that you could say on air or off air to Zofia? Because I do think that it's something that she wants to get her teeth into.
Yes, I do understand that.
Communicate with these people personally and start to try to make a difference.
Yes, I do understand that, friend Zofia, and we will absolutely need to be in touch with you at another time.
We'll do that. I mean, if you can say them now, then that would be great. But that's the other thing. I don't know. I don't know if there is such a sort of a darkness surrounding this situation, then I don't think that we should say that on air anyway.
No.
If they haven't come up with it vocally, openly, then maybe there's
obvious.
there's a reason, you know.
Yes, so, absolutely.
But,
that's right.
But we can let you know, Zofia. No problem. So she says, are we missing some important issues by focusing so much on the overuse of fossil fuels?
Yes, I feel, in a sense, focusing on the use of fossil fuels is one thing that needs to be then tempered by the use of further insight and understanding, not allowing various different new branches of technology to then to be withheld or bought and shelved by petrochemical companies and the like, as has been done in the past over the last four decades or so, that has been their wit, their ploy, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that has meant that, sadly, the water-driven engine has been a dream for many, but in actual fact was a reality 40 years ago. There are many different ways of combating the present crisis in energy performance simply by being, how do you say this, on the right form of wavelength, in a sense, of creating the right energy and the right infrastructure to enable new ideas and inventions and creations to take precedence, rather than continuing on the same laborious pathway of building more and more nuclear power stations, which, although they're green to a certain extent for the limited time that they are able to work as an energy provider, they actually take more energy to build one, and more than 100 times that amount of energy to destroy it when it's finished.
Mm, yeah.
So the amount of energy that a nuclear power station will produce is probably less than a hundredth of the energy that it will take to destroy it.
That's still.
And not to mention the time involved, which is over 1,000 years.
Mm. Okay.
Yes, so.
So, okay, well, let's end on a lighter note.
Yes, absolutely.
Well,
so.
The thing is, hopefully this is a lighter note.
Yes.
The thing is, if we all know these things, then we can all do something. But like Zofia says, can the little things that we do, an average person, day to day, make a difference?
Absolutely, absolutely everything. Every single thing counts. Every single thing that you do, every tin that you wash, every bottle that you wash, every thing that you save, is then less for the ground to have to tolerate in decades to come.
And you know, obviously it's all about influencing the powers that be.
Absolutely. And yourself, your own mind, the person next door.
Yeah.
The person next door might just be the next person who creates the next energy with which the rest of the planet can live in harmony of.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that means everyone is possible to be a part of the witness and a part of the future, including those on our side of life who have lived our physical lives. And who wish to reinvest in the future because of the billions and billions of beings who want to have their turn.
So talk to as many people as you can. People yes. all over the world, anybody, whoever,
Absolutely.
Whoever's going to listen. Support the organisations that are already going. Create your own, whatever it takes, really.
Yes,
Ben, become a bigger voice.
Yes,
together we can do it. And
you're not just little chirpy birds.
No, not at all.
Yes.
So, okay, well, thank you very much, Gregory.
Thank you so, love and light, blessings as ever at this time. Remember, every energy that you send out to our side of life will be used or utilized somewhere to heal someone from their pain or their suffering. Or their lack of understanding. God bless upon your journeys, everyone.
Thank you, Gregory. And I'd just like to thank everybody who's listened to us and interacted with us this year and last year and the year before. That was our 321st show we've just finished. And we're looking forward to another 321 and in the future. And I hope that you will join with us and enjoy it as much as us. And like I say, this is all about you, your planet. You can interact and email us your questions, have your say. And our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. If you want to know more about us, you can have an Akashic reading with Gregory if you would like. We do have our books and CDs, downloads and etc. on our website for you to have a look at. So anyway, we look forward to next year, and let's look forward in positivity. You can do this. We can do this together. My name is Sylvie Avery, and this has been Spirit's Work Radio on the wonderful bbsradio.com. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.